seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our safety. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Drive in with the Rappin' Professor,
Dr. Aaron Smith.
Drive home
with Charles Ellison.
This is Word Radio, 96.1 FM
and 900 AM WURD.
Philadelphia, independent black media.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests, listeners, and hosts of any program on Word Radio do not necessarily reflect those of ownership, management, or advertisers of this station.
One at our end of town.
Yes, this is your life. I'm your host, Rick Ford, and you're listening to 900 AM WURD and 96.1 on your dial. What a great day in the city of Philadelphia. Yes, the 76ers won again, 3-1. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Consortium, and I'm sitting here with John White, who is the executive director of the consortium out there in West Philadelphia. Before we get started, we're going to open up the phone lines at 215-634-8065, toll free 1-866-361-0900. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or you can download the free WRD app in your Android or iPhone. What way? You can't miss this life-saving show. We do this show every third Saturday of the month. Yeah, so boy, it's gonna be hot. We're gonna have a long season here. Yeah,
there you go.
Yes. So before I introduce the guests, let me just kind of bring you up to date. We always do a few announcements. Last night was the very first round of Recovery Idol. Good God Almighty. We were down there in South Philadelphia at Yesa Banquet Hall, and in spite of the inclement weather, folks showed up last night. And I need to say this here. This year is probably the greatest year ever we ever done with Recovery Idol, in spite of the incentive of a cash prize. I think that inspires everybody when you say we're giving away a big cash prize. But the level of talent is phenomenal. We have about 25 contestants, and kudos go out, and I'm going to do this. I've said this to her name again, Erica Edwards, that the women, I think, last year's winner was a female. Lily Mack, she was sung in front of 25,000 people at Penn's Landing. But this year, I'm looking for the women to repeat, right? So kudos go out to all the women who was performing last night. Not to take away from the men now. The men are very competitive, but I see a strong edge moving towards the females in the category. They just were phenomenal last night. We want to thank everybody who was there last night, the Recovery Advocates, the Department of Behavioral Health, that whole crew, my wife and her team, and everybody on the committee for Recovery Idol. And kudos go out to Bishop Robinson over there at Yesa Banquet Hall. So we want to thank everybody who was in attendance last night. The next round of Recovery Idols, round two, Friday, May the 17th. We going from South Philly. Now we going to North Philly, to 25th and Lehigh, at One Day at a Time. And all these events are open to the public. So stay close to us. Stay really close to us. And kudos go out to Johnny Croons, a world-class musician. He just was phenomenal last night in terms of the genre and music. So last night, John, what we did was the first round was freestyle. The next, every round of the competition, we change the genre music to challenge their their creativity and the ability to learn the lyrics and et cetera. So the second round of the competition, we're letting them do Fallen Stars. What I mean by Fallen Stars, people who have passed on.
Okay.
The Whitney Houstons, the Michael Jacksons, the Prince, the Aretha Franklins, the Gerald LaVert. We can go on and on. So it's going to be a great competition. Then I'm not going to tell people about the third round because I want to get people, I want them to do the work. So this time, who we got here? We have Erica Edwards, who is a special assistant to you, John White Jr., over there at the consortium. And then we got this Stefan. How do you pronounce your last name?
Zonia.
Yeah. He seems like he kind of rich to Zonia. He's the director of addiction services over there at the consortium. So I want to thank and welcome you both here. So, John, let's get started.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, thank you very much for allowing us to come in on every third Saturday. And thank you for your calls leading up to it to make sure that we're going to be here on time.
Yes, I know you're busy.
The opportunity that we get to speak to your listening audience about what the consortium does really is about what is happening in the system. I mean, we're just one of the providers of services for those with addictions as well as those who have mental health problems. And in thinking about this show today, I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe people could benefit, one, from hearing directly from someone who is running it on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
Not only about what we offer, but what he's experiencing. And secondly, this interesting project that we're doing with the Camden County Correctional System, with the jail Camden County Jail, to make it really simple.
Yeah.
I thought folks could benefit from it. And so I invited them to come along, all right, and spend a couple of minutes with us, you know, to spread some wisdom and some knowledge.
Yeah.
But first of all, you keep talking about this recovery idol. You spent a half an hour before the program came on, bragging about recovery idol.
Yeah.
You know, so congratulations.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity, man.
This was a dream for you. This was something that you really had wanted to do.
You know, everybody says, that's my baby. And you know, when I really break this down, how, you know, recovery people are very talented people. So you want to showcase their talent through arts, entertainment, and fashion. And you know, to kill the stigma how society perpetuates looking at once an addict, always an addict. Well, you'd be amazed that some of the people just need an opportunity. And we get them to invite all their non-believers, the police.
At our senior staff meeting this week, we had every meeting, we had what we call the mission moment, where we bring someone who is involved in one of our programs to tell about their experience with the consortium, what we've done well, where areas that we can improve. We had a young man Thursday from our addictions program that Stefan arranged to come and speak to the staff, who was extremely engaging, knowledgeable, been through it. And it was good to hear him talk, because it gave staff who were not involved on the addiction side a picture, a view into what can happen to an individual if they stick to it.
Yeah.
You know, if they participate in the program, if they're disciplined about it, the changes that could be made. And kudos to Stefan for his work. And in fact, why don't I turn it over to Stefan, who can talk a little bit about what we do. He'll
That's
make
good.
Up something else to say, too.
That is great, man, because I want to hear all this other stuff that you guys are doing.
Go ahead.
So, Stefan, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
And it's funny, because I know my wife is probably listening, so Sheila. Stefan is here.
Hey, Sheila.
So give us a call. We're going to open up the phone lines, 215-684-8065. She knows the wealth of work you've been doing. She talked about you a whole lot on a positive side.
I hope so.
So, of course, she did. Yeah.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm the director of the addictions program for the consortium, and we're located over at 451 University Avenue, so right around the corner from CHOP, right across the street from the VA. And, you know, consortium has been historically providing methadone maintenance for about 40 years. But, you know, what we're working on now is telling our story about the wealth of resources and treatment options that we provide now. So in addition to methadone, we really are focused on that every path to recovery is a valuable one.
Yeah.
So if you want MAT, yes, we provide methadone, we provide Suboxone treatment, we provide Vivitrol treatment, but not everybody wants to do MAT, or some people's addiction doesn't require MAT.
Yeah.
And for those at home that may not know, MAT means medicated assisted treatment. And that's normally what we talk about when we're talking about treatment for opiate addiction. But we also do drug-free treatment. And, you know, the really exciting thing about consortium is that, and you know, this really is a reflection on Mr. White, is that we are very dedicated as an agency to removing barriers to treatment.
Yeah.
And you see that in the day-to-day at our addiction center. So, for instance, we have a free daycare for anybody who's enrolled in our program.
I want you to say that again.
We have a free daycare for anyone who's enrolled in our program. And the only thing that we require for that, it doesn't matter if you're self-pay, it doesn't matter how you get to us, that's a free service. All we need is immunization records. But what we did is we asked our clients, what are your biggest barriers to treatment? One thing that we heard again and again is my responsibilities as a parent.
What do I do with my kids when I'm seeking treatment?
Exactly.
During those critical hours.
Right, because treatment can be three hours long.
Yeah.
And that's a long time. Some people can't find a babysitter in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And we understand that. And so we have wonderful, wonderful daycare workers. They take great care of our kids. The kids do art projects that we post all over the building to kind of, you know, give it a fun vibe. And,
yeah.
You know, those kids are great, and we all know them, and we say hello to them when they come in, and they're kind of part of the center. And
the family.
They're part of the family.
Yeah.
They're part of the family. And, you know, other examples of meeting barriers, we have a wonderful in-house employment program. It's called the Greenhouse Program, where they help our members not just fill out job applications, not just practice interview skills, not just, you know, find clothing for them to go on interviews,
yeah,
but also on the other end, because the finish line isn't getting a job. The finish line is maintaining that job and maintaining your sobriety.
Yeah.
So what do I do now that I have cash in my pocket? What do I do now that my hours have changed? How do I, you know, kind of compartmentalize work and treatment?
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, as you were speaking, and I'm just thinking critical in terms of, you know, that is, and I hope folks that are viewing and listening understand the deepness of this, that if a woman is pursuing her treatment, and we know that the disease of addiction is a family disease, she's coming to treatment, she can leave her kids over there in a safe, nurturing, healthy environment. And I'm going to ask the $1 million question, while the kids are there, do we feed them? I know they're there only for a couple of hours, mm-hmm, but please take advantage of these opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yes, we do have snacks for the kids.
I'm coming over there. I'm bringing my kids over there.
Oh, I was going to say, you might be too old to be in the daycare.
Wow.
But you know, other things, again.
Let's talk about it. This is the whole program around. Let's talk about it, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Where we've done relapse prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Just had this last one was what I'm losing it.
That was the employment and treatment. Right. Yeah, you know, so getting them to work together.
We're trying to get people to open up.
Yeah,
And to talk about their walk, to talk about their journey in recovery. I mean, they're extremely well attended, and people are interested in following up. So Stefan's leadership, you know, has enhanced our ability to really try to address some of these barriers to addiction. Erica is over in Camden, and she has a remarkable story about what our experience has been there in working with the inmates that I know you're going to be interested in.
Yeah, so that's, hey, Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you're over in Camden, New Jersey.
Yes, I am. One day a week.
Once a week. Now, for those that are viewing and listening, I want you to help us understand that once a week, you're over in Camden at where?
So I'm at the Camden County Jail all day long.
All day long.
Yes, I am. We have had the amazing opportunity to partner with the jail and come in and provide education around medication-assisted treatment to the inmates as well as staff. And in addition to that, we are now providing a therapeutic component to inmates that are in the jail that are receiving medication-assisted treatment while they are incarcerated.
Wow.
You know, we know as providers that medication-assisted treatment is very effective in, you know, assisting people towards their recovery. However, you really need that therapeutic component. It's absolutely imperative. So I've had the amazing opportunity and experience to really spend some time in the jail, interact with the inmates on a one-on-one basis, and really get an inside look into what their struggles are around addiction and what we need to do as treatment providers to help them. One of the things that, you know, Stefan was saying, you know, we have a daycare, we have a job readiness program. What that is describing is really the social determinants of health. You know, in the field of addiction, it used to be the thought that if we take away that addiction and the individual stops using, everything will magically become better.
Yeah.
We know now that that is not the case.
Not at all.
You know, we need to help our clients, our members, help them with the job, help them rebuild those family relationships that may have been damaged along the way, help them build their self-esteem, give them that sense of hope that, you know, yes, right now they're having some struggles in their life, but they can get through that.
Yeah.
You know, and Camden County Jail, I mean, that's really
I wanted to ask you about that. What do you see the most difficult task as you enter into prison? And I don't know how long you've been doing that, but I think it's quite interesting that, you know, from your perspective, what do you see the most difficult task when you go into prison and you're interacting with the clients about MAT and et cetera?
So I would say first, stigma.
Yeah.
Definitely staffing in the jail.
What do you mean?
So your corrections officers, your medical department, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they believe that these individuals that are in the jail basically aren't worth it. They're not worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
It's a revolving door.
Yeah.
There, it's roughly about 8 out of 10 individuals that are incarcerated have a substance abuse issue. Sure. In Camden County Jail, it's roughly 65%. They have a census anywhere between 700 to 800. So it's really a revolving door, right?
Yeah.
So individuals are coming in because they've committed a crime, usually to support their addiction. So they come into jail, right? They leave jail, and now what? They go back out and they use.
Yep.
So Warden Taylor at the jail, she's very progressive, and she's put in a lot of initiatives to combat this, recidivism rapes, and really help these individuals get into recovery.
Yeah.
So, yes, they're coming in, and they're broken down. You know, sometimes it's their last stop. Really, it's really their last stop. So now we have them in the jail, and what are we going to do with them, right? We're just going to send them back out there. That's been what's happening. So now we have the opportunity to, like I said, really see what these individuals need, but then also offer that to them while they're in the jail.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Get them started on that path of recovery while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, yes, okay, go across the street. Here's a recovery center, right? Here's a therapist. Go ahead. I hope you make it there.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
It's really, I see individuals that are stuck. They don't know how to get out. They don't know how to get better. They don't think that they're worth it. They can't see that light at the end of the tunnel. And what I think they need to be reminded and you know, assisted with is that it's just a little step. It's one step, you know, to a bigger picture. It's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, when someone is suffering from addiction, there's just so much.
Well, you know, when I think about the history, the historical content of being working in that prison industrial setting, the mindset of the staffing and COs, correctional officers, they've been mentally trained. And some of them have, you know, this is funny. I did some research one time and found out that most alcoholics, guys who work in prisons, have either an addiction problem or high level of alcoholism because of dealing with that whole monster there.
Yep.
So in terms of training the interior staff there, could better serve the inmates. Well, right.
Yes. So that actually is one of my tasks in the jail. So I do meet with staff once a month and tell them, you know, about different treatment modalities, medication-assisted treatment, why it works, really. I mean,
yeah.
I think one of the things I hear a lot is, oh, well, they're just swapping one addiction for another, right? It's just, they're just changing it. And we know that addiction is a disease. It's a disease of the brain, really. And especially with opioid addiction, it actually changes your brain chemistry, right?
Yeah.
So what I tell the inmates that I see, as well as staff, is that unfortunately there's been, you know, a little bit of change in their brain, and now they need some medication, right? These medications attach to the receptors in your brain. And basically, the way I like to see it is they're there to kind of take that voice away, right? So you can focus on your treatment, right? How am I supposed to look within myself and focus on why I'm here? Because we know that really addiction is a symptom of a bigger problem. If I've constantly got this monkey on my back and this voice in my ear saying, use.
Yeah. I'm
right?
thinking.
You can't.
Before we're going to take a break, but I wanted to ask another question before we went into the break. What alignment is in place for those guys upon discharging? Go ahead, John.
This is one of the most troubling aspects of this whole arena. Stefan, again, we've talked about this. The addiction may be an underlying factor for me being incarcerated. Mm-hmm. There's no treatment being offered. Mm-hmm. I'm being discharged or released. I still have that addiction.
Yes.
I'm going right back to the same environment.
Yes.
I'm coming back to jail.
Right.
So my thing is, why aren't we doing something to reduce the chances of them being reincarcerated by making sure there's some continuity of care with respect to that treatment thing? Now, Stefan knows more about this than I ever will. But the common sense, and Erica does, the common sense thing to me is, if I am, the reason I'm being locked up is for rehabilitation, then rehab what needs to be rehab.
Right.
And I think where that program becomes incredibly valuable is that sometimes in that period of incarceration, that is your moment of clarity.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So when you're out there on the street and you're on your run, you don't get a day, much less a week or a month or however long, to work on it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why what Erica's doing is so important is hammering home not only these are the steps to get help, but who do you go to? Who do you ask for help? What is my plan? How do I start my aftercare plan essentially from jail? And this is something, and I want to plug it real quick before we go to break, is that anybody out there, you know, family, friends, you know, loved ones, if you need help, or if somebody that you care about needs help, or somebody you care about is coming home from a period of incarceration and needs help, please call us.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach us at 215-596-8100. We will be happy to direct you to whatever services you may need, whether it be drug and alcohol, mental health, inpatient, outpatient, children's treatment, everything. And if we don't offer it, we'll connect you with who does.
Cool. So listen, hold that. Look, you guys that are viewing and listening, I know that you guys are waiting. Phone lines are open, 215-634-8065. Any questions, concerns, or comments, give us a call. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's good, man.
This thing.
So there's someone very close to you, and they're in a lot of trouble with opioids, alcohol, maybe other drugs. You're desperate to help, but you don't know what to do. So you just watch, and just as desperately, you do nothing. Well, there is something you can do. Call the consortium. They've helped a lot of people in their 50 years, thousands, good people who just need to get out of their own jail. The consortium's multicultural clients come from all over the region to their West Philadelphia location because the consortium's understanding and proven methods are treasured by them because they work. And while they could go anywhere, they choose the consortium, and so can you. Call 267-233-5163. If you know someone in trouble, just give us a call. We'll help with the rest. The Consortium, 267-233-5163.
D&D Cleansing Cleaning Service, where they take cleaning to the extreme. 3025 Ridge Avenue, 267-691-9811. The best janitorial service at your service with unbelievable prices. Call them today and try them out tomorrow. They're always open 24 hours a day. A service you can trust. Providing services in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. D&D Cleansing Cleaning Service. 267-691-9811. 267-691-9811. They take cleaning to the extreme. Do you or a loved one suffer from an addiction, trauma, or mental illness? Here at the Kirkbride Center, our mission is to help our patients, their families, and friends by providing a therapeutic environment for treatment and recovery. Located at 111 North 49th Street in West Philadelphia, Kirkbride provides both short and long-term inpatient care for adults who need help from recovering from mental illness and drug and alcohol addictions. And we specialize in the use of methadone and suboxone for the treatment of opiate dependencies. This year, our staff has also pioneered a new long-term residential program for women with addictions who are survivors of trauma, the first of its kind in Philadelphia. Treatment is covered by most insurance plans, and county funding is accepted for those without insurance. Self-pay arrangements are also available, and referrals and admissions to the Kirkbride Center are accepted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For more information or to schedule an intake at the Kirkbride Center, please call our number at 215-471-2488 right away. Again, that's 215-471-2488. The Kirkbride Center is a proud sponsor of 900 AM WURD.
Hi, I'm the First Lady of Recovery, Sheila Ford, and you're listening to Recovery Talk 101 with Rick Ford on 900 AM WURD and 96.1 FM.
Back here at 900 AM WURD, you're listening to Recovery Talk 101. I'm your host, Rick Ford, and every third Saturday of the month, the consortium is here. I'm sitting here with John White, I'm sitting here with Erica Edwards, who is giving us a phenomenal story about the triangular movement of working from consortium, going over to the Camden County prison, working with men and women over there, and Stefan, who is the director of addiction services for consortium. So let's get back into the discussion, man. So I like this whole movement of going over there in the prison because I, yeah, ooh.
But what happens without treatment? I come in with the addiction, let's say the heroin. I'm detoxing without what? I don't have access to anything. I'm just there.
Maybe an anti-anxiety medication.
Yeah,
that's
maybe,
it.
Maybe. Yep, I'm going through major withdrawal.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I know many people may know, and people may have seen it or experienced it, but you know, the withdrawal is agonizing. I mean, it's agonizing.
What is withdrawal? I mean, Rick, we talk about that, right? But,
yeah.
You know, what is withdrawal?
So, you know, just basically what happens is with something like an opiate, your brain and your body become physically dependent on it. What an opiate does is it gives you a kind of synthetic or a fake sense of euphoria.
Yeah. An opiate would be, other than heroin, what else is an opiate?
Other than heroin, Percocet, oxycodone, yeah, fentanyl, those are the types that we see most commonly. Yeah.
Do you know how many people who are taking those medications don't realize that it's an opiate? Mm-hmm.
But don't even realize that they get sick or mm-hmm. they're going through withdrawal.
And that's the thing, is that, you know, opiate medication does have a practical medical purpose. If you have a pain management disorder, if you are mm-hmm. in chronic pain, there is a medical use for it.
Yeah.
However, if you are not using it to dull pain, that's when, you know, you go past that line into abuse.
Yeah.
And when you consistently give your brain and your body that chemical and then you take it away, all of a sudden you're feeling all of that pain
yeah.
that you've been blocking out, and it comes out all at once. It makes you feel terrible, you know.
Yeah.
We won't go into all the symptoms because they can be pretty pretty gruesome, but
no, you know what? You know, here, Stefan, I think it's important that people really need to understand the depthness of it.
Right. Okay.
You know, because here's what happens. You know, I worked in a detox for many years at JFK Hospital, and it's like a movie. Now, mm-hmm. one of the things, we watered down some of the symptoms. People mm-hmm. can't hold their bowels mm-hmm. and spitting mm-hmm. up and aching, and mm-hmm. it's like having a flu to the 10th power. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I recall clearly is for the newer people that are like sniffing heroin, mm-hmm. and they started out taking pills first,
right?
They started out on, you know, and I told somebody you can't afford those pills back then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not Perks and all
Oxy.
That. Oxys, right?
Right.
And they had different levels of oxys that mm-hmm. you were paying for.
Sure.
Well, when you can't afford to buy the oxys mm-hmm. and you don't even realize you're going through major withdrawal, mm-hmm. and some scientists, what I mean scientists, some other clever person is using drugs, say, here's the antidote to that. You just need to get a $10 bag of heroin. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, man.
Well, and that's really, I mean, when talking about withdrawal, that's where medicated assisted treatment comes in. So, you know, treatment with methadone or treatment with Suboxone or Vivitrol, what they do is they take the edge off of that terrible withdrawal.
Yeah.
And, you know, through a regimen that it has to be, of course, monitored by a doctor, you know, through a regimen you can start taking enough of that and an induction to block the withdrawal, and then slowly taper down off of it until you get off completely without ever having to go through that major withdrawal feeling.
Could you help folks that are viewing and listening talk about the 28-day shot of Vivitrol?
Sure, absolutely. So Vivitrol or naltrexone is the other drug name for it. And what it is an extended release of buprenorphine, or it's naloxone. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Extended release naloxone, and essentially naloxone is the active ingredient in Narcan.
Right.
And for those who don't know, Narcan is kind of the drug that everybody is carrying now out in the streets to reverse an opioid overdose. And what a Vivitrol shot does is it's essentially a slow release injection, meaning that over the course of those 28 days, it's gradually releasing it into your bloodstream. And what it does is it's basically like being on Narcan for 28 days.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it blocks everything out. You know, it blocks the opioid receptors in your brain, which means that even if you decided you were going to shoot a bag of heroin, you wouldn't even feel it.
So
what's the point? There's no point in doing it at that point.
Yeah.
And it also kind of it takes the teeth off of that you know, Jones for it, that craving.
So Vivitrol is very effective. It is, we hear a lot, right, that Vivitrol is used for opioid addiction. However, it's also used for alcohol addiction as well.
Correct.
Highly effective for that. The thing about Vivitrol, and this actually does directly relate to the individuals that I see in Camden County Jail, is that you have to have a 7 to 10 day clean time, meaning you can have no opioids or alcohol in your system.
Yeah.
So am I going through withdrawal during that period where I'm not getting?
So hopefully you have completed a medically monitored withdrawal, right?
Detox, right?
A detox, absolutely. You know, if you're in an inpatient facility, they're going to detox you medically.
Right.
In the jail, it doesn't happen like that, you know, so much. Mm-hmm. But because it's non-addictive, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be stepped down off of Vivitrol,
right?
And it really is a safety net medication. As Stefan was saying, it is a full blocker, unlike Suboxone and methadone, right? So if an individual does go out and use during that 28-day period, they're not going to be able to override that injection, right? We're going to keep them alive.
How often does this have to be repeated, though? I mean, if I'm getting a shot every 28 days, how many cycles do
I
have to go?
Well, clinically...
And can I ever get off of?
Yes. Clinically speaking, providers will say a year, right? And that's really for any medication-assisted treatment, whether it's Vivitrol, Suboxone, or methadone. Mm-hmm. And the reason we say a year is because we want to get that individual strong in their recovery, right? We want them to build their coping skills, build their social supports, get back on their feet, right?
Yeah.
And then we can get them off of that medication-assisted treatment if that's their treatment plan, right? So everyone is different, obviously. Some individuals, they're on medication-assisted treatment for a couple months, right? They're off of it. Some are on it for a couple years. It really depends on what their treatment plans are. The thing about Vivitrol that I hear a lot in the jail, right? Well, what's going to happen if I don't take it?
That's what I was getting ready to
say. What's going to happen if I don't take it? Nothing's going to happen to you if you don't take it.
You're not going to go back to those feelings of...
Well, that's where your therapy comes in, right?
That we
want to teach you how to cope, right? We want to give you a whole new toolbox, if you will.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't
want to misunderstand this, okay? I don't want the audience to misunderstand it. I have a heroin addiction. I do the 8 to 10 days, so I'm eligible now for the Vivitrol.
Correct.
I take the Vivitrol shot.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say on the 29th day, I take another shot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When the second time around, suppose if I stop taking it, do I automatically go back to heroin?
No, you don't
automatically go back to heroin. Now, will cravings come back? Absolutely. You know, there is
as the receptors reactivate.
Correct. So you know, there certainly are going to be physical cravings, but what you won't go through is that full blown withdrawal.
But I guess to combat that is through therapy and additional...
Right. What Erica was actually describing, we use what we call the ROSC model, the recovery-oriented system.
Oh, yeah. You know about that.
Yeah, I bet you do. You're a smart guy. And really, you know, again, we see over and over and over again, addiction is never a problem that stands on its own. It's always a symptom of other things. So... even if we can get you 28 days clean,
absolutely,
if we're putting you back in a violent neighborhood, an abusive relationship, homelessness, you know, lack of education, lack of occupation, I mean, those are contributing factors that you're not going to be able to stay clean.
At all.
Yeah. So we need to work on those social factors, on those contributing factors to get you stabilized before we would ever feel comfortable saying, hey, you're good to go. Like, good luck to you. We'll see you around.
Right.
Because it's, I mean, that's just the fact of the matter, right?
Yeah.
Is that if we don't have, we can provide people a stable, safe, secure place to be at our center 3 hours a day. But if the other 21 hours a day is hell for them, then, you know, that's not going to cut it.
Wow.
And so that's why, you know, we work really hard to engage families so that we have a more supportive place for our members when they're out of our treatment facility. That's why we work really hard on getting them engaged in the community. That's why we work really hard in getting them employment. So all of those things, you know, the MAT is wonderful in the sense that it, again, gives you that period of clarity where your mind isn't solely focused on when am I going to get my next fix. And it allows you to then start focusing on, well, how am I going to get myself out of this terrible living situation? Or how am I going to get myself back into school?
Yeah.
And that's really where the MAT comes. And just backtracking to the gentleman that was from our addictions program that spoke to our executive leadership on Thursday. And I hope he's listening. He told me he was going to. So, Brian, if you're out there, thank you. And, you know, one of the things that he said, two things that really stuck with me. One is that the medicine is 5%. The other 95% is the therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The medicine, all it does is it gets you feeling good enough to be able to engage in therapy.
Yeah.
And the other thing he said, and this is something I shared with all my staff, is that he said he was proud to be a member of the consortium, as a member, as someone getting treatment. And, you know, that made me swell with pride, and I hope it made everybody else that was there, because that really speaks to, you know, meeting the needs of where we're at.
People.
So we know methadone. We've been spending a lot of time talking about Vivitrol, but there's a third one, and that's Suboxone.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in terms of the success rate and how the two medications work between Vivitrol and Suboxone?
Mm-hmm. So,
you're running a good show here, buddy.
Every third Saturday from 6 to 7.
Yeah, so Suboxone has been, in the last 4 or 5 years, has really taken off as a modality or a type of MAT.
You're not talking about Suboxone in the jail, though. That's only for Vivitrol?
Camden County has Suboxone in the jail and also methadone as well. Well, they take them to a clinic to get methadone. But yes, they're providing all three treatment modalities.
Oh, outside the prison.
Yes.
Suboxone?
So different than methadone. So methadone is an agonist. Basically, it works very similarly to the opioid. It stimulates the same receptors so that your brain isn't telling you it needs it anymore. Suboxone is very much more like, you know, in the vein of what Narcan does, is a blocker. And it's a partial agonist, so it means it stimulates it a little bit. It would, you know, you're still going to have kind of that background, you know, maybe craving for it, but not the way that you would if you had nothing in your system.
Yeah.
But it also acts as a blocker. So
partial. You're administered every day?
So yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
And if you, okay.
Yep. And, so at our program, we offer, you know, daily dosing of both. And, you know, when people have established some continuity in care and they're doing pretty well, then we give take home so that they can, you know, kind of go about rebuilding their lives. But with Suboxone, what we generally see is, you know, the dosage tends to be smaller than methadone. So the back end of it coming off of it tends to be a little bit easier in the back end taper.
Yeah.
And that is really the appeal, right? Is that, you know, the methadone feels a little bit stronger. It definitely has a little bit more of a bite to it. And people then, because of that, have a harder time getting off of it at the end.
Yeah.
And those are really the differences, is that, you know, the Suboxone, because it's only a partial agonist, because it is a blocker, you know, you still do feel a little bit unwell as you go through that process, but getting off of it is easier.
Go ahead.
Other difference, too, is how you obtain the medication.
Right.
That's a big thing.
Right.
So in order to get methadone, you have to go to a DEA-regulated methadone clinic, right?
A doctor can't prescribe
it. No, not unless you're in a DEA-regulated clinic.
Mm-hmm.
We do give some take-homes, but the large majority, you're going to need to come into the clinic every day and get your dose of methadone. Mm-hmm. Suboxone, as long as a physician completes what's called a waiver 2000,
yes,
they can prescribe Suboxone.
Yes.
It is capped at the amount of individuals they can prescribe, but the theory behind that was now we can reach more individuals. Right? They don't have to come to a methadone clinic every day to get their medication. We can give them a 30-day dose of Suboxone and they can take their medication at home. They don't have to come in. The downside to that is you got doctors that are able to prescribe the Suboxone and will give a 30-day script for Suboxone and they're not providing any addiction treatment.
Right.
And it's not going to work.
Right.
And then Vivitrol, any prescriber can give Vivitrol as long as they have a license to prescribe.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's just a wealth of information. We talked about methadone, Suboxone, Vivitrol. Listen, one of the key things that I think you guys are, when I say you guys, men and women, are able to explain the difference in each modality of the methadone, Suboxone, Vivitrol. You clear that, the beta blockers, and folks need to know this information, mm-hmm, because there's folks who are sitting there saying, what is it? It's maybe about educating
this.
People.
Maybe I'll try
this. Absolutely.
Right.
And maybe I'll try this.
And that again is where, you know, even if you're not sure if you're ready for treatment, if you even just have questions about treatment, you know, please call us. That's what we're here for, is we answer dozens of calls every week of people just trying to get information about what is Suboxone or what is methadone or why can't, you know, my loved one just stop using. And we're happy to answer those questions. And that's why, you know, I, again, encourage everybody, you know, give us a call anytime, 215-596-8100 at the consortium, and we are happy to talk you through that. And if you decide you're ready to come in, then, you know, we do walk-in appointments. We take people Monday through Friday. Anytime you can make an appointment, but you don't need one, and we're happy to work with you.
You know what, I'm sitting here thinking, and John, and I hope that maybe we can do this in terms of bringing one of the participants in who's currently on Suboxone or Vivitrol, so they can share their personal story, their life story, mm-hmm, where they are.
Mm-hmm. You want to make that happen?
Yeah. I'd be happy to. I know my man Brian would like Brian to come in for that.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Folks need to hear those kind of stories.
And I was talking to Erica about our mission moment, mm-hmm, and trying to maybe get someone upon their discharge from Camden to just talk about what we're doing there,
yes,
and what's next.
Let's do it. You guys got me. So listen, we're going to take our...
Dave just gave us the high sign, so I know that.
Are we there? So listen, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back and wrap things up with the wonderful team from the consortium out there at Westville Lafayette Avenue on University, mm-hmm, Avenue.
Right.
So phone lines are open. I know you guys are receiving all this wonderful information. So start writing down the phone numbers, the websites, the locations. We'll be right back.
So there's someone very close to you, and they're in a lot of trouble with opioids, alcohol, maybe other drugs. You're desperate to help, but you don't know what to do. So you just watch, and just as desperately, you do nothing. Well, there is something you can do. Call the consortium. They've helped a lot of people in their 50 years, thousands, good people who just need to get out of their own jail. The consortium's multicultural clients come from all over the region to their West Philadelphia location because the consortium's understanding and proven methods are treasured by them because they work. And while they could go anywhere, they choose the consortium, and so can you. Call 267-233-5163. If you know someone in trouble, just give us a call. We'll help with the rest. The consortium. 267-233-5163.
After 7 and Drew Hill live. Up close and personal concert, Mother's Day weekend at the Tropicana Showroom in Atlantic City, Sunday, May 12th at 6 p.m. After 7. Doing all of their hits. Performing
their hits. Tickets available at the IMAX Theater inside of the Tropicana, Ticketmaster.com, Philadelphia Hair Company, and OP Productions in Delaware. For more information about discounted hotel rooms and all other Mother's Day weekend events, log on to ppshows.com. Drew Hill. And After 7. Sponsored by Always Best Care of Philadelphia, Walmart, and Kelsey's Restaurant.
It's not just funny, it's the So Damn Funny Comedy Festival!
Saturday, April 27th, 8 p.m. at the Lear Chorus Center.
Featuring comedian Michael Blackshead.
Men's Blink, but I saw.
Also live, Earthquake.
Baby, make a love to me like a heavyweight championship fight. Oh, it's scheduled for 12 rounds, but it's going to end early.
Mark Curran.
From Fox TV's The Real.
Lonnie Love.
I do like to eat, y'all. I love the buffet. God bless the man that made the buffet. Yeah!
Instagram sensation,
Love Jazzy,
a.k.a. Toya Turner,
Billy Zone,
Skeet Carter, and hosted by the outrageous Red Grant.
Get your tickets at the Lear Chorus Center box office.
OP Productions in Delaware.
Or online at LearChorusCenter.com.
The So Damn Funny
Comedy Festival.
With Michael Blackson, Earthquake, Lonnie Love, Donnell Rollins, Watch Jazzy, Red Grant, and more.
April 27th at the Lear Chorus Center.
Be there.
Hi, this is Council President Darrell Clark, and I listen to my main man, Rick Ford, heard here on 900 AM WURD.
Listen, we're back here at 900 AM WRD. Time flies on a Saturday. I'm sitting here with John White Jr. I'm going to say John White Jr. Okay. Is that right? I'm thinking of your son. And Erica Edwards, who is a special assistant to John. And Stefan, your Zonia. Last name, Zonia, who is the director of addiction services over here at the consortium. So, Erica, I'll go to you. Ladies first. Anybody you want to thank before we leave the airwaves here?
So I'd just like to thank Camden County Jail for the wonderful work that they're doing around this initiative.
Yeah.
Sharon Bean, who is head of jail population, Officer Ross, who is with me every single week when I'm conducting my sessions. Thank you to them, and as always, my colleagues at the consortium, John, for giving me this wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, and we look forward for you coming back.
Most definitely.
All right. So, my man, Sheila, got your buddy here, Stefan. Anybody, Stefan, you want to thank before we leave?
Well, really, I mean, the people that I always want to thank is the members at consortium. They're the heart and soul of what we do. They're why we get up every day, and it's really them and their families and the family members of anybody out there that's struggling. You know, we see you, and we know it's hard, and just know that we're here to help, and that's really what we do. So thank you, and you know, keep fighting, and everybody have a blessed and safe Saturday night.
Do me a favor, give out a phone number.
Yeah. So you can find us at 451 University Avenue, right across the street from the VA. You can call us anytime, 215-596-8100. If you have any questions about you or someone you care about and you know how to hook them up with treatment, you know, give us a call. We're here for you.
Right. I appreciate you, man. I really do.
And Rick, thank you for allowing us to come in on this Saturday. Of course, the consortium, I don't know what I would do without it, and the people that I have a chance to work with every day. Yeah. I'm awfully proud of these two young people and the contribution that they're making, and you for decades being on the forefront of this fight. And yeah, thank you very much.
Man, thank you, man. That's the wonderful team at the consortium.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, man. Look forward to you guys every third Saturday right here. My final words have always been love someone. because someone needs to love you back. Go Sixers!
There you
okay.
go.
And to my wonderful wife, Sheila Ford, the First Lady of Recovery, to Sayer, my number one Sayer. Soldier, five-year-old Sayer. We had a great time at the game. And Samia, the new addition to the family. She's about probably 2.5, 3 months now. So Pop Pop is looking to get her and cuddle with her. And, you know, my daughter, Sierra and Quadia, to the multitude of folks that are practicing this thing called recovery. Keep moving forward, man, because the universe needs you. You need to be hope and healing for the many folks. We want to thank our producer for Dave holding things down. Listen, don't change that dial. Lloyd Cumming is going to be coming to you. He's going to be coming from Barbados, Trinidad, the Virgin Islands, Jamaica. Right, man. Lloyd, I know if you're listening, Lloyd, I've almost got it down. Dave likes that. Right. Till next week. Peace and we out of here.
What's cheesy topped with a fluffy egg and crisp applewood smoked bacon? Easy. McDonald's new $2 breakfast.